Okay, so today we're going to talk about why is the plague of darkness the ninth plague? I guess it could be any plague, but what I'm specifically asking is why is it the second to last plague? Obviously, you got the tenth plague, that's the final straw. That's the plague that causes the Paro to tell the Bnei Yisrael, I want you to leave. But we have a plague right before it. And why is the 10th plague the what's called the penultimate plague? Why is it the second to last plague? What's the significance of this plague that it's really at the end? Is it as scary as some of the other plagues? I don't know. Would you rather have darkness, or would you rather have hail being shot at you, or I don't know. Why is darkness so bad? Any thoughts?
People are always afraid of the dark.
People are afraid of the
People are
dark.
always. People are always waiting for the daytime because they
Okay.
think, even when people are sick, they'd rather be in the daytime than in the nighttime.
Okay, this darkness is scary. Okay.
Well, it was also a different kind of dark. It was thick that they just couldn't even get up from where they were sitting. But
Right.
that's besides the point. What I wanted to say is they needed the dark, the plague of Hoshea, so that the Israel could go and check all the houses and see where
Right.
their goods were.
Right. Okay. So,
They also needed it so that the Mithrim should not see that the Jews that are not going to leave are being killed, and also maybe because they would be so happy to see them die, so these people that were going to die, the Egyptians, are also considered children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe they didn't want them to have such pleasure.
Another idea
Yeah.
is that. The Egyptians worshipped one of their gods was the sun god.
Good. Okay.
So they're telling them, listen, your god is finished. So
Right.
maybe don't go to Makat Bechorot. Maybe we can get away. Maybe
Right.
you learn your lesson. We don't need this last thing.
Good. Okay, good. We're gonna speak about some of those ideas and maybe a few more. I'm going to break it out. Let's first read about Malchus Choshech. Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'yomer Hashem Moshe, Neti Yadcha al Shemayim, V'hi Choshech al Eretz Yitzrayim, V'yamesh Choshech. Stretch your hand on the heaven, and there should be darkness in the land of Egypt, and that the darkness should be felt. Yamesh, felt, touch, that's the way Sefarya translates it. V'yit Moshe Shadoa Shemayim, Moshe stretched out his hand on heaven, V'yihi Choshech afeilah b'chol eretz Yitzrayim, Shel Shemim. There was a dark of Afela, also means dark. There's a dark of darkness for 3 days. Loro ish asachiv lo kamu ish mitachtav shloshes shamim. People cannot, a person cannot see his friend or cannot get up from his place for 3 days. For all Bnei Israel, there was light in their dwellings. Vayikra paro lemoshe v'yomer lechu ivdu es Hashem ratzolchem uvekarchem yutzah gam tapchem yelechivachem. Paro then tells Moshe, "You can all go. Just keep your cattle here." And Moshe says, "V'yomer Moshe, gamata titein bi'adeinu zvachim alo sosi la'Hashem Elokeinu." No, we need to take our cattle and sheep because we need to offer sacrifices to God. Gamikneir yelech imanu lo tisher parsa. That the cattle should go with us. Not even a hoof shall remain. Ki menu nikach lavos Hashem Elokeinu. We're not gonna know how to worship Hashem until we arrive there, so we need to bring our cattle. And God strengthened the heart of Paro so as not to send them. Now, so I'm going to share with you three different approaches, some of which you mentioned, as to why this is the ninth plague. So one way we can look at this is that it's preparation for the Bnei Israel to leave Egypt. And as you mentioned both of the reasons, right? The Medrash Seichel Tov says, well, in the first source here, Ulachol B'nei Yisrael Hayor B'moshvosam, that if for all the B'nei Yisrael there was light in their dwelling places, Hainu Goshen, meaning in Goshen. Upashi the Krahu, that's a simple reading of the text. Avor B'Seinu Darshim B'moshvosam de Mitzrayim. That it was light for the Bnei Israel in the dwelling places of Egypt. So you saw nichnasin bati mitzrayim, vanolim nichsehan ve'ena margishim. There was light, so in other words, you could be in one room, one area, and it was dark for the Egyptians and light for the Bnei Israel, So Bnei Yisrael would be able to take their property, and Egyptians would know. Balei Mefaras b'Kabbalah Raglei Chasidav Yishmar v'Roshayim b'Choshech Yidmo. He cites a pasuk that reflects that. So now they know where they're hiding their stuff. Chizkuni Hoya Or b'Moshvil Sam Be'eretz Goshen Ein Ksiv Kan K'mo b'Makos Acheros. See, in the other plagues, what does it say? It says, Be'eretz Goshen, the land of Goshen, where the Bnei Yisrael were, so there wasn't a plague. That's not what it says here. It says, but Moshvo Sam. Shamu Rabbeinu Shona Makazu Mikol Ha'acheros, that this plague was different than all the other plagues. Sha'afilu K'shahaya Yisrael Be'eis HaMitzri B'Mitzrayim Hoya Or Imo. It says explicitly that B'Moshvo Sam, that wherever the Bnei Yisrael were, there was light in the house of the Egyptian. So it was dark for the Egyptian, it was light for the Bnei Yisrael.
According to Torah Tumima, they
I know. Cataract. We're gonna get to their Baruch. Very good. You're right. So now there's the Torah, okay, we can say it now. All right, the Torah Tumima, I have it further down. I think he's dealing with this issue. Well, it's a little, very farther down. Luli Mistafin Lamsi Dar Mechadash Ma'od Hava Mina Dina Choshek Lohaya Bavir Rak Bene Hanashim. He wants to say it was not in the air, it was in the eyes of the people, right? That Hainu Shahayam Matuch Tavlu Ali Shonai Hai, and they had cataracts. The advantage of the Torah Tumima's position is that if you don't want, how can there be both light and darkness in the same place? That's an impossibility. So the way to solve the problem, unless you can say, okay, God can do the impossible, or you could say simply that it was cataracts, and that didn't affect the Bnei Yisrael, okay? In any case, that is sort of like one approach. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel also mentions that they can do the mitzvos of Moshe Sam. We'll see what that is. Actually, the Rashi cites one of the opinions, the Va'od Shetavsu Yisrael Varol Kelehem, that the Bnei Yisrael saw their kelim of the Egyptians. Uchshayatu Hayusholim Mehem, that they would ask the Egyptians where could we borrow your stuff. And Vahayom Rim, they would say, Ein biyadeinu klum, we don't have anything. Omer lo, ani ve'isi be'beischa makom ploni hu. No, it's actually in your house, in this specific place. So again, you can look at the plague of darkness to prepare. It was the second to last plague, because preparing the Bnei Yisrael to leave Egypt, so they could hide, so that they could take their gold, or the gold of the Egyptians before they left Egypt. The Egyptians would say, we don't know where it is, and the Bnei Yisrael would be able to tell them exactly where it was. Then, as mentioned also, was also to kill off, according to Midrash, to kill off the members of Bnei Yisrael who weren't fit to leave or who didn't want to leave. And so Rashi says, for example, says Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, sorry, a Medrash, said, L'chol Bnei Yisrael hayor, there was light for the Bnei Yisrael, likvor rishayim asher b'neihem, shemesu, to bury the wicked people among them who died. Rashi points out, Choshech shel ofel shel ro ish esachiv osan shlosh shemim veot shemim achim choshech muchfal azeh. There's a double darkness in the second 3 days. Shlo kamish mi tachtov. No one got up. Yoshev in yecholama. If you're sitting, you can stand. Omed in yechol leishi. If you're standing, you can sit. Lam hevi aleim choshech. Why they bring darkness upon them? Shehayu b'yisrael b'osador b'shaim. There are wicked people in that generation. Lo yerotzim latzeis. They didn't want to leave. Umesu b'shlosh shemim afela. They died during these 3 days of darkness. So the Egyptians would say, yeah, they're just like us. They died just like we died. And this is a famous Rashi in next week's Parsha. It says, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Yitzrayim. V'chamushim literally means that they left. One explanation is they were mezuyanim, they were armed. But davar acher, another explanation, chamushim, one-fifth. Echa mechamisha yatsu, one-fifth left. V'arba chalakim, mesu b'shoshim ha'afelon, three and four-fifths died in the 3 days of darkness. You think about it. During the first nine plagues, or right before the first nine plagues, Moshe goes to the Bnei Yisrael and says, this is a great plan. Votzesi, vitzalti, v'goalti, v'lakachti. And what's the Torah's response? V'lo shamel Moshe, mikotze ruch, v'varakasha. They're not interested. They were so embittered and from the hard work. They were not prepared to leave. And God said, okay, you can stand by the side and watch as I do my wonders. And it was not only for the Egyptians, but it was also to build the emunah for the Bnei Yisrael. They would see, look, God is fighting for you. But God was not going to leave. God was not going to just give them a free lunch. They had to show emunah. They had to Shech the Korban Pesach, right, the God of the Egyptians, and they had to want to leave. So God demonstrated his ways, but still, by the second to last plague, all those members of Klal Yisrael who weren't fit to leave, so unfortunately, they all perished. Those people who wanted to remain in Egypt. So again, one approach to try to understand why is this the second to last plague, because this prepared the Bnei Yisrael to leave in two different ways: to know where the gold of the Egyptians was hiding, and also to kill off those members of Klal Yisrael who were wicked and wanted to remain in Egypt. Another approach. Baruch, you want to say something?
I just want to say that in Nach, when they used to stab people, they stabbed them under the fifth rib.
Oh, okay.
That's Chamush.
Right. Oh, you did with that? Was that with Ehud when he killed the?
Yeah. When they killed Tomoso, right?
Okay. So Kli Yakar points out that maybe this is also. Kli Yakar says a second approach. Ru'u ki ra ne'ed p'necham. So Paro says to them, even beforehand, that this is a Perek Yud, a Pasuk Yud. This is even before the plague of darkness. Paro turns to them. He says, Ra'a ne'ed p'necham. Hare atem hochim lizboach. You're going to sacrifice k'dei levatel hora'as ha'kochav sheshmo ra'a, to cancel the effects of the constellation whose name is Ra. Ra was the sun god. So one can understand that in the second to last plague, this wasn't simply darkness. This was a defeat of the Egyptian sun god. And if you actually think about it, I once gave a Shabbos Agadol Drasha about this, that the Bnei Yisrael, so I said, why specifically does the Bnei Yisrael have to slaughter the ram, right? So the ram, like why was that the god of the Egyptians? There are so many gods of the Egyptians. So the ram, actually Ra, was the physical representation of Ra was the ram, or head of a ram. So the Bnei Yisrael are commanded in the 10th plague to slaughter the chief god of the Egyptians, that was Ra, the sun god. So before the Bnei Yisrael are commanded to slaughter a physical representation of the sun god, what does God do? He defeats the sun god. How does he defeat the sun god? Through the plague of darkness, right? So that's one of the goals of the plagues, not merely to, cause the Egyptians pain, but it's also to defeat their gods, to show their gods are worthless. So right before you're about to send them, what's almost the climax is defeating their chief god, which is Ra, by removing its power, by making it dark, demonstrating it has absolutely no power. So that's another way we can understand this plague as being towards the end, either preparation for Bnei Yisrael to leave Egypt, or it's to defeat the Egyptian sun god before the Bnei Yisrael themselves are commanded to slaughter a representation of the sun god. But there's perhaps one other approach. And
why can't it be, Rabbi, you said it's either?
No, it's not either. Not either. It could be all these reasons. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. I said that, I correct myself. It's probably multiple reasons. And another reason, perhaps, this we have to work a little hard to get this third reason. Now, there are a few unique features about this plague. Okay? So one unique feature about this plague is how does this plague end, right? God says, stretch your hand on the heaven, and there should be darkness. And Moshe stretched his hand on the heaven, and there was darkness for 3 days, and they couldn't get up for another 3 days, and there was light for the Bnei Yisrael. And what does Paro tell Moshe? I want you to, you can leave, you can serve God, just keep your cattle here. What does not happen at this point that happens during other plagues?
Paro is not asking Moshe to end the plague.
Exactly.
It seems like even before it started, it said it's going to be for 3 days.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
No, but where does no? Torah never. He never tells this plague. He doesn't warn Paro at all.
No. But it does say that right at the beginning that it's going to be darkness for 3 days.
No, it doesn't. It said, look, God said to Moshe, stretch your hands on the heaven. There'll be darkness. And Moshe stretched out his hand, and there was darkness for 3 days. And then it says that people didn't see each other, they didn't get up for 3 days. They get their understanding it's 3 plus 3. But there is no indication of how long it's going to be. I don't think, at least according to the simple reading of the text, I think. There's also something else, and by the way, the Ibn Ezra sort of points this out. So it's not so clear. It's not 100% clear, but it says Vayikra, that Paro called out to Moshe. When did he call out to Moshe? At least the Ibn Ezra says, Achar Gil Yom Shiro Or. After 3 days, maybe the second 3 days, after they saw the light. And the Or Chaim says, Vayikra Paro Perish Achar Sheshomel Yumei Achoshech. Ki Kodam Lo Kamu Ish. So maybe, it could be just technical reason. They couldn't ask Moshe to pray because they couldn't get up. But that's just one point. One point is that they didn't ask Moshe to end the plague. There's also something else, and that is there's like a tension. There's this tension between the text and the Midrash that we just mentioned. According to the text, it seems that the only group of people that were punished were the Egyptians, right? It's all about the Egyptians were punished. And then you have this midrash. Okay, last time you had midrashim that sort of, okay, they add on things and they add color to the text. But this midrash, which says, that Rashi quotes, that they died, right, or the Targum Yosef ben Uziel, where the Bnei Yisrael buried the wicked people, and Rashi quotes it, there's a tremendous tension between what the text says and what the Midrash says. It's not just simply adding color. If you read the text, who was punished? The Egyptians. No indication at all that Bnei Yisrael were punished. Comes the Midrash and says, oh, Bnei Yisrael were also punished. A lot of them were. Most of them were. I find that a little peculiar, right? Because why does Midrash go out of its way to tell you that? Like, what's the indication, what's the evidence that he says of the word Chabushim in the next Parsha? But it's interesting. Sometimes, you know, when you read into a text, you can say the Midrash sort of emphasizes this point or it's a little, you know, adds a little detail. But here it's sort of turning the plague almost on its head by saying that what the simple reading is that only the Egyptians were punished. Now you say, oh, by the way, a lot of Bnei Yisrael were punished as well. So I just find both those points interesting. Number one, Pyro doesn't ask to stop the plague. And number two, this tremendous tension I find between the text and the Midrash. Those are two unique features. Second point I want to make is the following. Was this plague an absence, what's the plague of darkness? The plague of darkness, an absence of light or something called darkness? And by the way, was this the first plague where there was darkness? Mm-hmm. Was there another plague before that there was darkness? Arbe, excellent. Arbe. Look at Perek Yud Pasuk Tesvav. Vayachasis Ein Kol Aretz Vatech Shach Haaretz. The land became dark. So they already got darkness. But this is not darkness. This is darkness, right? So it's Viyamesh Choshech. So what's V'yamesh Choshech? So the Sforta points out, V'yamesh, he writes, V'yasir es ha-choshech ha-tivi sh'alayla. He's going to remove the natural darkness of the night. Ki amnam choshech ha-layla hu avir muchan l'kabal ha-or. He says the darkness of the night is air that's fit to receive the light. Hu choshech beheder ha-or bilvad. In other words, the atmosphere, when it's dark, it's dark outside now. The atmosphere outside, the air outside, is fit to for there to be light. It happens to be the sun is not shining, you know, in the direction of, you know, where we are. So therefore, it's dark now. So the darkness that's right now in Oceanside at 8:40 is because it's a lack of light. But here we're saying that the air in Egypt at this time was not fit to receive any light because of its thickness. And it's not an issue of a lack of light. It just is not fit for darkness. I'm saying it's not fit for light. The air is too thick. That's what he said. V'lifich lo ro'ish zachiv. That's why someone, people can see each other. Kilo speak lazeh or there vavuka. You couldn't even strike a match or make a flame. It's not just it was night outside, but you couldn't. The air was not fit for there to be light. And again, I think that what like as I mentioned, the Tartum is probably bothered by this. Because how can you have darkness and light for the B'nai's? How can you have light and darkness for the same air? It's impossible.
Yep.
What?
You have in Kriya Shamsov, you also have that.
What do you mean?
You have the darkness, the Mura Aish, and the Chosha.
Yeah. So I
think that also.
Right. You see how that plays in. Right. How did that play in? I haven't looked into that. You know, there was both. What was the relationship? Right.
Rabbi, it's also the atmosphere was so dark.
Right.
It's a preparation, really, for Makat Bechorot. It's all darkness, uh-huh, one after the other. And
it's the death.
Darkness,
like the darkness praying for death. I hear that. I haven't thought of that. Okay. I like that. So this is a creation of darkness. Now, there's this debate in the Midrash, the Shmos Rabbah. It's an interesting debate. Says, where was the darkness from? Rabbi Yehuda from the Chabia. So there's a debate. Rabbi Yehuda says, it was heavenly darkness. He said to Pasuk. It was darkness from Gehenna, from the netherworld. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems to me if it's a plague, Rabbi Nechemiah's position sounds more compelling, right? It's darkness from Gehenna, because the plague was Gehenna. It was disastrous. It would seem that it would come from the netherworld. So how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that it was darkness, it was heavenly darkness? So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef Polonia, is a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov.
Maybe the goodness of God is gone.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. He says the following. He says, He says, Why did Hashem tell Moshe, stretch your hands to the heaven? There was light for Bnei Yisrael. Why did the Torah specifically say here, and for the Bnei Yisrael there was light? That was for every Makkah. It didn't affect the B'nai Israel. So why is he saying that specifically here? So he says, nearly, it seems to me. In the future, God's going to remove the sun from its, chest, whatever. Where?
Like a wallet.
From his wallet? Teak. Sheath. Was it?
Sheath.
And the wicked people are going to be judged with it, the sun, and Tzadikim will be healed by it. The same thing. It's a proof text, right? Okay. And the worst Gehenna for a wicked person is bringing them into Gan Eden. Because there's nothing physical. And Tzadikim are sitting with crowns on their head. Haim Shahayu, like basically, what's Gan Eden? Gemara Shir. For some people it's Gan Eden, and some people it's Gehenna. Haim Shahayu Pchuse Ha'erech Be'enei Gasei Haruach, She'usruche Be'deyam, Kmosh Kazuv Ha'chachmas Sofrim Tisrach, Vatahim Barosh Ha'kruim Misadnim Batunuga Torah Vatfila. So some people who are not into the physical stuff, so they're only into the spiritual stuff, so now they're enjoying this spiritual world with the light of God. And someone who's an enjoyment for the wicked people, this enjoyment for the wicked people, it's a punishment. It's an affliction.
Nega and oneg is the same.
Right. Shelo hurgel was that. They weren't used to this. Uma'im mi shelo lamad. Right, V'shamayim or Torah. V'shamayim. Right, so now that he's saying that if for 3 days, if there's for 3 days of darkness, they're so bittered. So imagine if they spend their whole lives, you know, for 3 days they saw the light of God, and that was bitter for these wicked Egyptians. So much so that they spend their whole life engaged in darkness, that when in the future when they perceive the light of Torah, how bitter it's going to be for them. And he says, "Vezel bear a pasuk." This is the meaning of the pasuk. V'yomer Hashem Moshe, "Nitein chal shamayim." Stretch your hands up to the heaven. Nitein chal lahamshich lamata dvar muchaniim shehu al shamayim kmo Torah tefila. Stretch your hands to bring down to earth spiritual things like Torah tefila. Uvazev ahi chosh chal eretz. This is going to bring darkness to Egypt. To those who follow just the desires of this world, and they are not engaged in spiritual matters like Torah and Tefillah, that certainly for them, the light of Torah and Tefillah for them is darkness.
Samim, it should be
Samim. Right, sorry. Because he plays light for darkness. Masha ain't kein l'chol b'nei Yisrael shehei b'tor Yisrael. Shehugel b'tor tefillah. Unlike Kla Yisrael, they're used with Torah and tefillah. There was or b'moshvo sam. In other words, why is there going to be light in their moshvo sam? Because hurgulu b'zeh b'chol moshvo sam. Because they're used to it. Well, l'chol Yisrael, for all Jews who had moshavos of Torah and tefillah, who yearned for spirituality, then it's an enjoyment for them. So then, right? So God's, according to the God's heavenly light descended on Egypt during the plague of darkness that created darkness for those who rejected him, because it meant that everything they stood for came crashing down in front of their very eyes. Once the light of God descended on Egypt, those members of Klal Yisrael who still refused to leave were destroyed. Paro did not beg Moshe to stop because it was not a painful plague. Rather, it was a plague which simply drained the Egyptians of any spirit left to fight and to challenge Moshe, because they knew that their God was rejected, right? It's completely dark, and they beheld the spirituality of God. And they realized that all was lost for them. In other words, you don't have to only look at this plague as a preparation for the B'nai Israel to leave Egypt. You don't only have to look at this plague as a defeat of the Egyptian God. But you can also look at this plague as one that brought clarity to the Egyptians, which depleted them of any will left to fight the B'nai Israel. And perhaps the message for us today is, how do we act when we see the light of God descending on our lives? When we get that moment of clarity, are we the 80% or are we the 20%? And it's a question of, what do we get excited about in our own lives? The more we work on our emunah and our faith day in and day out, our Torah and tefillah, the more that we will see ourselves as part of the 20% and not as part of the 80%.